For our final episode in our first season of The Journey to Wellness in Indian Country, we're going to take a look at the big picture and try to tie up some of the themes that have emerged through this series of interviews. We invite Dr. Derek Jennings, an assistant professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice and Pharmaceutical Scientist, to join us in the studio this morning on a holiday yet. Hey, Derek, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you with us this morning. So, we've talked a lot about discrepancies, and we've done a certain measure of compare and contrast with Native communities and non-Native communities. In Native communities, what does wellness mean for folks?
Well, wellness is an approach of looking at your physical health as well as your mental health. So it's a state of being and not just concerned about the absence of disease. So it's really important to have more of a holistic approach to health and what that means.
So as Native people, we've talked, quite a bit about the different challenges that Native people face on their journey to wellness. And, of course, the, underfunding and the lack of health care in rural areas, and some of these things have been issues that we have talked about. We've also talked about prevalence of diabetes, prevalence of substance abuse. In your opinion, and this is an opinion question, what is the most difficult challenge? What do you think is going to be the hardest challenge for folks to overcome? Or does that kind of depend on the community that we're talking about?
It depends on the history of the community, the location of the community, how trauma has affected that community. So it's across the board, I would say it's really just overcoming historical trauma, the trauma that's happened throughout the in colonization. And we're kind of coming out of that right now. I think we're right at the verge of this renaissance around health and well-being. And also misperceptions of things. Like you'd mentioned, substance abuse, and Native communities are more likely to abstain from alcohol abuse, but that's not the stereotype.
Right.
So a lot of that's just coming out of the woodwork, I think, and those Native people taking control of their health and as part of that sovereignty movement to define who they are on their own terms is really key to being healthier.
Is the understanding, I'm really interested in this idea because it's something that was kind of new that I'm still trying to understand as best I can from the outside, but is the idea that historical trauma has been identified, we put a name on it, we started to explain what it was about. Has that made it easier for people to start to come to grips with it? I mean, do they feel in a sense that they're maybe these feelings and the situation that they've been caught in is being taken seriously finally?
Yeah, I think so. By labeling this trauma that's happened historically,
right,
which a lot of people, a lot of academics and a lot of community people don't believe historical trauma exists. But for the fact that it's being used, the word is being used so much, I would argue it exists now. At least, there was definitely trauma historically, and that has affected my family, and through alcoholism, diabetes. And so those are all things I've been very aware of throughout my life, since a little kid. So it's a very real thing, and being able to put a label on it, and then be able to start defining the problem, the issues around those problems, I think really helps solving those issues.
It seems like with the label thing, you can either put a label on it and then sweep it back under the rug, depending, or if you name it, it gives it presence, it gives it authenticity. It says this is something that's real instead of just a kind of a diverse collection of feelings or problems or whatever, and putting it together and saying, this is real. Want to take this seriously. It sounds kind of like Native people are kind of step. I don't know really exactly how to phrase this, but they're kind of stepping forward and saying, okay, now we've been able to kind of identify some of these issues. Now we're going to step forward and own solutions.
Yeah, and I think just the idea of acknowledging that there is this trauma that was forced onto Native people that wasn't necessarily forced on by themselves. It was,
exactly.
It was forced from the outside
right.
entity. So I think kind of the first step, acknowledging there's a problem and that there's a history to these problems. And then it's allowed, I think, communities to, like you said, start directly addressing those issues and saying, okay, this is not necessarily something that was historically here, historically pre-contact, I should
right.
say. But once contact happened, this did happen. And so all of our health, all of our technology, everything was stunted for that time period. And it's been survival mode. And so now we're coming out of that survival mode, going into thrive mode. So we're reclaiming languages, reclaiming ceremonies. These are all things that tie into well-being that
and
are important to well-being.
And native foods. The the
foods.
Movement toward native foods has done a wonderful
yep.
job, it seems, not only physically for people, helping people feel better physically, but also mentally and emotionally and culturally.
Yep, exactly. The idea of fry bread and flour and lard, that served a purpose to make fry bread about 100, 150 years ago. When we started moving around a lot. U.S. Government was giving lard and flour to communities.
Yeah.
And so they used what they had to survive. And now they can step out of that and say, okay, this is not what we've ate historically. This
right.
is just more recently. This is more contemporary. And now we can move into eating foods that we, my ancestors thousands of years ago ate.
So. Right. And yet, I don't know, this is me making the scrunchie. I mean, there are a lot of things traditionally that Scandinavians, not that you're necessarily going to eat lefse every single day, and a diet of it wouldn't be good, but there are some things that are really yummy.
Yeah.
It's just, there's the yumminess
yeah,
factor.
Yeah, there's balance. There's balance. Yes,
exactly.
it's a balance, and that's part of that part of that well-being factor, It's just mental and physical. So,
exactly. So what do you consider? Again, we've talked about a lot of these different developments and a lot of these different really, really good energies and good movements and good strides coming out of different communities. What, in your opinion, is one of the most exciting developments as moving forward when we're talking about wellness?
I think just the idea of, Native people have been forced included for so long. If you think about African-American people, they were forced excluded. And so their movement is to be included and be part of American society. And Native people were forced to be included. Sorry, I'm getting confused myself here.
Right,
being forced
right.
to inclusion. That's what assimilation, forced assimilation was about.
Boarding schools
and so on and so forth. And so that's what the sovereignty movement's about. Moving away and saying, okay, we will be part of you, but we want to be a part of you on our own terms. And so our health is doing the same thing. And that's ties into some of the food things you're talking about. And I'm very excited. I like to cook a lot. I do a lot of harvesting and hunting. So I like food. And so I'm really excited about the food things that have been going on in Indian country. Everything from going back to foods that my tribe historically has eaten to just trying new foods, just trying things I haven't tried before and trying to get my community, my research partners to try new foods too. And reclaiming health as the tradition and not just the food. The food is just a symbol of identity, but I'm trying to say, well, let's look at of being healthy as tradition. We use fry bread to be healthy, to stay alive, not
right.
to be healthy, to stay alive. And now we can say, okay, it served its purpose. Let's set it aside. Maybe have it once in a while, like you said.
Well, yeah, you go someplace and you're having a say. I'm the kind of person that would say, maple sugar. Oh, yeah, I will live on maple sugar.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, there are healthy people of all races, and then there are sugar addicts of all races, definitely.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Well, there's also some financial independence, and there's some real opportunities there with native foods and in terms of, some of the wild rice and some of the maple sugar and some of these other foods that people can produce not only for themselves, but for other people to make them available, and there are jobs there.
Yeah, there's economic development that's tied to all these food movements, cooks and chefs and restaurants
the
and
sous
food
chef.
Supplier. Yeah, sous chef, Sean Sherman, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nephi Craig's another a great one who's in the Southwest. And there's a whole bunch of them out there. And so I think it has multiple facets to it. It's really exciting, you know, that there's this economic development going along with this food, and they're trying to figure out food systems and how do you get historically traditional foods from one part of the country to the other, because Native people always have traded. They traded. There was an intricate trade system before contact. So there's items they found from the Great Lakes down in Mexico, and items from the Southwest that are found up here in Canada. You know, so. So there's always been a lot of trading with food and technology and things like that, and trying to figure out a good system to start feeding Native country with Native grown foods.
And the internet think that the internet is really going to make that effort. It's just going to move it ahead by leaps and bounds.
Yep. I order a lot of dried corn on the internet. So.
Oh, really?
Yep. So
okay. So it's corn that you can't find here at this point?
Right, correct.
Okay.
It's corn that some of it's sourced here in northern Minnesota, but a lot of it's sourced out in the Southwest, and there's just different types of dried corn that I like to have access to and eat, and we eat it ceremonially for ceremonies, and it's easy to go online and order it.
So and when folks can get that network up and running, so they know who to talk to and they know kind of how to make those contacts. It sounds like it's really going to be exciting. Looking forward to these conversations as we pick up again in the new year.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Derek.
Very much.
Appreciate you joining us. Dr. Derek Jennings joined us this morning as our guest as we wrap up our series of Journey of Wellness in Indian Country. Thank you so much for joining us right here on 103.3 KUMD.